radars, and they've got the eye on the shore radar, and it is awesome. My God, that's a big eye. The feeder bands are beginning to pound a northeast Florida pretty hard right now, and it is moving northwest. The latest information on Hurricane Floyd is it is 125 miles now, very much closer to the Cape. 125 miles actually east-southeast of Cape Canaveral, moving northwest at 13, pressure at 935 millibars, and thus far no weakening in the storm. I see Titusville, Daytona Beach, down to Vero Beach and Fort Pierce are feeling the feeder waves of this hurricane. It is a monster. 2.6 million people are being evacuated. The largest evacuation in U.S. history. Where's it coming ashore? Perhaps Wilmington. Their best guess right now. Wilmington, North Carolina. But that changes with just about every report. But I see them circling Wilmington right now as the most likely area. And we'll see. We're talking about the storm, and we're into open lines. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. I was off of Titusville, Florida, recording 45-foot storm surges. Holy moly. Wonder if that's true. 45-foot storm. Holy smokes. And he asks, question, what happens to anyone caught in their cars on these jammed highways? Well, if they've made it far enough west, hopefully all they have to do is sit it out. But again, I would say to those of you getting ready to go, you're going to encounter jammed highways, number one. Number two, gas may be difficult. Number three, I would take whatever supplies you're able to cram in. You know, if you've got sleeping bags, camping equipment, something to eat, you know, all that sort of thing, you'd want to get that in the car if possible. If you are evacuating, if you're trying to get out of the way of this monster, we are in open lines, and we will stay that way. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing.
This is Ryan from Michigan.
Hi, Ryan.
I just wanted to point out something. You can, you probably know about webcams, right?
I'm on a webcam now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're a lot of fun.
I've got actually three cameras that go in sequence.
Oh, yeah.
And I also have streaming video, so.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
What they got is they got webcams all over the world now.
Oh, I know.
So I thought it'd be kind of interesting if you got, like, tomorrow morning.
I mean, you can watch the crowds going to work in downtown Stockholm if you want to.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I get home in the morning, I'll tell you what I'm going to do is get on the webcams and see if I can get something in Georgia or Florida.
Yeah, well,
assuming the power is still on.
You know, a webcam's all right, but you know right now that CNN is waiting to see exactly where the storm is going to come in, and they're going to send their guy right to where the eye is going to go. You know, I asked, and I'm waiting to see if they're going to email me. Anybody at CNN or the Weather Channel, I would really like to know how you guys pick out who you're going to send down to stand in the eye.
Sounds like it'd be a lot of fun, you know, for me anyways.
So in other words, if you were a CNN employee, you'd raise your hand and you'd volunteer. Send me.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Yeah, I'm the same kind of idiot. I would too.
Didn't you chase storms for a long time?
Yeah, I did. I chased tornadoes.
Oh, yeah. I like storms, really.
And so who am I to call anybody an idiot? In fact, Lynn Whitlake and I chased tornadoes in a Volkswagen. That's really stupid.
Fun, though, right? It's got to be fun.
Well, it was fun, and we lived through it. But when you think back on it, it was pretty stupid.
Yeah,
I appreciate your call, sir.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, we chased tornadoes. We used to, in fact, we chased some cells right up into Oklahoma from Amarillo. That Volkswagen. Man, we had some close calls, too. Lynn, or as he is known down in Lake Charles, Robin. I think they call him Robin down there. His real name is Lynn Whitlake. When we were in the Air Force at Amarillo, we used to chase him. And I don't know how we lived through that. Yeah, I really, you know, I joke about this, but I would volunteer. I'd be the idiot who'd raise his hand and say yes. I mean, it would be exciting in a way. But that would be with a lesser storm. You know, when you get something this size, you sure as hell wouldn't want to be standing on a barrier island, for example, because it might not exist. Now, standing inland a little bit in an eye, maybe. But not with these kinds of winds. I don't think so. We'll have to see what they do. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm going to sound like I'm right off the wall with this.
Well, then you'll be right at home here, so go ahead.
Okay, no hurricane is actually going to hit the continental United States in 99.
Well, that's an interesting prediction.
It won't do any more.
What are you basing this on?
Perception, put it that way. I gave you all kinds of predictions back in 95 in letters that I wrote to you, and you didn't believe any of them. And
well, how do you know?
Well, some of them that I gave you 6-8 months, a year before anybody else even brought up the subject, you gave credit to other people, to your various prophets.
Well, now, come on, you know that I get a million predictions.
I assume that you either forgot, you know, that by that point you had forgotten entirely that I had given you predictions.
Look, let me help you out here a little bit, all right?
Yeah.
When I open my email, which is several times a day, every time I open it, I have 600 to 700 emails.
Oh, I believe it, yeah.
When I go to get my mail, or actually when my wife does.
It probably weighs 500 to 1,000 pounds.
We bring in between 5 and 7 bins of mail. Do you know what a bin is?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the kind of input that I'm getting. So, that's why I said, how do you know I didn't believe it? It's just that I get a ton of stuff, sir, and I really mean a ton, a literal ton.
Well, I kind of assume that if you had have believed it, then you would have made an attempt to contact me, since I gave you contact information.
Well, what special ability do you have that allows you to make these predictions?
I can't really say that I have any special ability. I've been accused of being the head servant of Satan. I've also been called a modern-day prophet of God. I kind of hope it's the latter, although, to tell you the truth, I've also been accused of being a nut and just completely off my rocker. Time will tell just exactly which is actually true.
Which one do you lean toward?
A totally unworthy prophet of God.
In other words, you're an optimist.
Yeah, I guess you could put it that way.
I did. All right. Thank you very much for the call. I'm sorry, but yes, obviously, if I have a guest on the air who's made a specific prediction, then that is memorable as well as being memorialized. If you have just sent me a letter and said I am a prophet of God or something or another, and I make the following predictions, it may slip through the cracks. I'm sorry. That is the kind of volume of mail and communication I get from all of you out there, and I try to pay the best attention I can to it, but some of it does slip through my fingers. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Tally ho. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, turn your radio off.
Turn the radio off.
That's good.
What am I talking to?
Well, take a guess.
This is Art Bell?
Bingo.
Good job. I've done this call that I listened to your show for the last 3 years now. I'm calling from Halifax, Nova Scotia, by the way.
Way up in Nova Scotia.
Way up in Nova Scotia. The reason I wanted the reasons call, I can ask you a question. I look at your website, but the one thing I couldn't find on there was a replay from the Swiss Air back from September 2nd. Can I get that somehow?
Yes, you may. Let's see. Any guest appearance that we have is chronicled and available on tape by calling 1-800-917-4278.
4278?
Yes, sir.
Great.
All right.
Thank you.
Does that help you?
That helps me a lot.
I take it it's calm and cool in Nova Scotia.
Actually, no, it's windy and rainy.
right now.
It shows you what the hell I know. Thank you for the call, sir.
Thank you.
Take care. Indian Rainey. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
KQMS, Redding, California.
Oh, here she is. Oh, my, you've made it in...
Early.
Early and frequently of late. It's nice to be hearing your cheery little voice again.
It is. Well, I think cats meditate. Do you think cats meditate?
How the hell would I know?
Well, listen, they sit there, and they're in that alpha state, you know.
Well, they're, no, and now cats clearly see things that we don't see.
I know.
Now, stupid humans look at that, and they say, what the hell's the matter with that cat? Look at it. Well, it's probably seeing something that we just can't see. That's what I think.
Well, I think they meditate.
I thought they even see rods. You know what rods?
Yeah, that rod thing. I always wondered about that.
Don't you think that's possible?
I think it's possible that they want to see things and they just get tired of not seeing things. They just pounce on it.
And so they make them up?
Yeah, like my feet when I don't want them to pounce on them.
Yeah, I wonder why they do that.
To irritate you. Cats communicate with us on a certain level, you know.
No, a foot under a cover is not like a foot. It's not the same thing as a foot at all. It's a mystery object that appears to be moving under the covers.
I agree. And they don't know what it is. By the way, I have special powers. As you recall, I am a goddess.
I'll ask you about that in a moment, but first let me read this to you in case you missed it earlier.
Okay.
When a cat, since you brought up cats, right? When a cat is dropped, it always lands on its feet. When toast is dropped, it always lands on the butter side down. So John Carter of Northridge, California, sent me this. He said, I propose to strap buttered toast to the back of a cat with the butter facing up. The two, obviously, will hover in midair, spinning inches above the ground. With a giant buttered toast cat array, a high-speed monorail could easily link Los Angeles and Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's like instead of a Levitron, it's a Catatron, huh?
Somehow I picture these miles and miles of cats meowing with buttered bread strapped to them.
Yeah, the PETA people would really hate that.
Yeah. Every train a new cruelty.
Yeah, they'd be protesting everywhere. You're silly.
I know.
You are definitely silly.
Well.
Are you going to ask me about being a goddess?
Yep.
Okay, ask.
Well, what kind of goddess are you?
I'm a fertility goddess.
Jesus, I should have figured. A fertility goddess. And what does a...
You're so easy.
What does a fertility goddess... No, I shouldn't be asking this.
Go ahead, ask. Ask away.
Oh, what the hell. What does a fertility goddess do in the normal course of a goddess's daily duties?
Day? Well...
And night.
First, I open my email and answer all my prayers that have been sent to me.
Well...
Then, I cause crops to grow.
You cause crops to grow?
Yes.
Ooh.
And I also punish people who've been bad with drought.
Oh.
That's bad.
So you stand in judgment of people?
Yes, I do.
Whew.
That's heavy, huh?
Yeah, it's a pretty heavy responsibility.
I know. That's why I meditate a lot. I have a very stressful day. Then, of course, I take over the question of mammalian fertility.
Really?
Yeah, I get lots of prayers over that.
Can you make a young man who is not fertile, fertile?
Of course.
Really? And a young woman who is not fertile, fertile?
Of course. That's my job. I also...
Do you ever remove fertility from the unworthy?
There are people who should never, ever have children.
Well, that's what I was asking.
Yeah, well...
As a goddess. Them,
that's right. And I get lots of prayers about children.
How do you do that, by the way, as a goddess? Do you just sort of close your eyes, squinch them together, and say, squeeze that tube shut?
No, I actually, what I'll do is I'll give her a case of acne. And then he doesn't like her.
That's just as a... You are so bad.
You're bad. You're worse than I am. Hey,
yeah, maybe.
But you are the best thing in radio.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Love you.
See you later. You picture that tube closing, and there it is closed. I don't have to do that. I just give Arachne. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Where are you?
I'm in Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome. You're on the air.
I'm on the air.
You bet.
Okay. Hey, I was going to tell Art about the.
Oh, wait a minute. I am Art.
Oh, you are.
I am.
I'm ridiculous. The sterilization of the cockpit. We have a 3-8 system, which when we take off, we have 3 minutes sterilized cockpit, and on landing, on the approach, it's an 8-minute.
Are you a commercial?
That's correct. An 8-minute sterilized cockpit. So there's nobody gets in and out of that cockpit.
Okay. What kind of aircraft do you fly?
Well, it depends on the day situation.
So in other words, the sterilization only lasts so long?
No.
At which point of the flight is it okay for the stew to come up and sit on a lap?
Well, never.
Never?
Absolutely not.
What kind of flying is that?
Well, what kind would you think if you were a passenger? You could have control of it.
What I'm saying is
on takeoff, it's a 3-minute sterilization
in
the cockpit,
yes.
8 minutes on the landing. And we try to do everything we can to make a safe journey for everyone. And that's all I wanted to say.
All right, sir. I appreciate your saying. Well, the first officer who called a while ago did burst some balloons for me. No stewardesses ever in the cockpit, ever. So I guess they have to go back and get their own coffee, huh? Wonder how the coffee gets. Maybe it comes in a little chute or something. And then this sterilized business. In other words, you're not allowed to talk about anything. The wife, the kids, nothing. Just the duty at hand, which is flying. And I suppose from the flying public's point of view, these are all good things. But it does seem like it, you know, takes a lot of the romance out of the way it used to be. But on the other hand, maybe we have fewer crashes. So I guess it's all right. We're watching the hurricane with you through the night tonight and probably tomorrow, too. We will have Whitley here for a short time tomorrow night talking about the weather.
I can see her lying back in her satin dress in a room where you do what you don't confess. She's been looking like a queen in a sailor's dream, and she don't always say what she really means. Sometimes I think it's a shame when I get feeling better.
Reported that northwest of the eye wall, they had a buoy that just recorded 52-foot seas. I repeat, 52-foot seas. Try and let your mind imagine that. The largest evacuation of U.S. citizens in U.S. history, 2.6 million are fleeing this storm. The latest projections show it coming ashore at the North Carolina, South Carolina border, but that seems to change each time they get a new forecast. The last one seemed to show it jogging a little to the west. You know, the last part of the little jog was toward the west, so who knows? The ridge is weakening a little bit that would have affected the storm. And everybody's got to be on the lookout, and I mean everybody. It's still east-southeast of the Cape by about 125 miles, and it's still moving northwest as far as we know. We should have new information soon, obviously. We're going to be dealing with this tonight. Tomorrow night, we'll have Whitley Strieber here a little bit. Whitley and I have authored a new book called The Coming Superstorm. And the subject matter is entirely appropriate to what's going on. So we'll have him on and talk with him a little bit. But basically, we're going to be doing open lines so that we can kind of keep in touch with what's going on. Now listen. Any of you out there that have appropriate photographs, personal photographs is what we really want, that have to do with this storm, we'd love to have you send them to my webmaster. He is webmaster. Keith Rowland, actually. Webmaster at artbell.com. So we're looking for personally oriented type photographs. We also have a link to the webcams in the path of the hurricane. So during the day, that'll be very useful. At night, not very useful unless they've got, you know, night vision equipment. But during the day, tomorrow, or later today now, actually, in my time zone, and yours, I'm sure, you'll be able to go to my website and look at those webcams. It is an awesome sight. They're in the blackout zone where they don't really have new satellite information yet. It's coming shortly on the hurricane. But they do have it on radar. And, ooh, you ought to see the eye as defined on radar. It is incredible.
George Kennedy for Can-Do. Arthritis pain used...
They're part of the family, right? Well, then take food for them because likely they will need it. And for yourself and, you know, whatever you've got around that's camping stuff, be a real good idea to have with you. So, we're sort of tracking this monster, and a monster it is, the feeder bands now. Bearing in mind where it is, east-southeast by 125 miles of the Cape, the feeder bands are slamming into North Carolina with heavy rain. Can you imagine the size of a hurricane that would do that? It's down still east-southeast of the Cape, and yet slamming feeder bands into North Carolina. That is one big mothering storm. First time calling a line, you're on the air. Hi.
All right.
Yes.
This is taking you back a while, but I'm trying to see if you can recall a guest you had on your show several years ago named David Horowitz.
Sure, Dr. Horowitz.
Dr. Horowitz. He wrote a book, something about virus or...
Was Horowitz Emerging Viruses and... I'm not sure, but yeah, you're right. I recall, not exactly...
It was several years ago, and I'm trying to locate either if I could get a copy of the tape or if you can recall the book that he wrote, because I've searched libraries.
Okay, well, you can absolutely... Well, there's two ways to handle it. One is you can call the number, the 800 number, and get a tape. As for the last Dr. Horowitz guest...
Well, we're talking about David Horowitz, right?
Right.
And do you remember the conversation about pharmaceutical companies injecting or infecting or whatever you say?
I think he was talking about vaccinations, wasn't he?
He was talking about, the program was about how way back in the 50s that we were inoculated with viruses that the pharmaceutical companies gave us.
All right, I've got it for you here.
Oh,
all right, are you ready? It's called,
I
was right, it's called, listen to me now. It's called Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola.
Exactly.
Nature, Accident, or Intentional by Dr. Leonard G. Horowitz.
Leonard, not David. No wonder I couldn't find it.
Yes, Leonard.
Now, please bear with me, I'm writing, Emergency?
No. Emerging.
Emerging. Okay. Emerging.
Viruses. AIDS and Ebola.
Okay.
Actually, if you just have emerging viruses, that'll be enough.
AIDS and Ebola.
And it's Leonard G. Horowitz.
No wonder I couldn't find him under David.
Okay. You got it?
Leonard Horowitz.
Yep.
Did you spell Horowitz?
H-O-R-O-W-I-T-Z. Okay?
And a library would have that. And can I get your tape of that program?
Well, you call 1-800-917-4278.
917-4278.
Yes, ma'am. That's it. Thank you very much, and good luck. But with the correct title and name, you've got it. I've had a lot of Davids on, so I forgot myself. It's Leonard G. Horowitz, actually. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Art.
Yes.
This is Squirm in my big truck here heading westbound on the PA 5. I got a question to ask you.
All right.
Well, they're right. You don't sound the same on the phone.
Yeah, I know. That's what everybody says. But if you think I don't sound the same, you ought to hear how you sound right now.
I bet. Anyway, you're streaming video on your computer.
Yes.
I noticed that most of your guests have got computers or websites or that sort of thing. Would it be possible for you to have a setup where you, on the internet, where you can have a split screen where you would be on one side and your guests would be on the other side, so that us people at home, when we're watching it on the internet, we can watch both of you at the same time?
That would be so cool, wouldn't it? Let me explain to you on the air what that would take, though, and why we can't do it right now. In order to have the streaming video that, for example, I have right now that you can see and hear, it requires a very special line to be installed by the phone company. It's a frame rate, it's called a frame rate line. And in this case, it goes straight from here to Dallas, where Broadcast.com is, and delivers a very fast stream to Broadcast.com. And then, of course, I've got cameras and I've got lighting and all of that to contend with. So trying to set that up for each and every guest that we would have on the program would be logistically, absolutely, completely, utterly impossible. Now, if a guest had a camera already set up, trying to think about this, I don't think that we could get streaming video, but we might be able to get the webcam that I've got, so you would see a photograph of the guest if they already had a computer and the right program and a camera. But even that is kind of difficult logistically, so I don't know. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Calling for Art?
That would be me. Turn your radio off.
Okay.
We'll wait while you do that.
My name is Angela, and I'm calling from Cape Coral, Florida.
Cape Coral, Florida, huh?
Yes. I was calling to say that this is a huge storm, and we are over in the west, in the Gulf of Mexico, and we are getting some rain bands and some wind. It's not a lot, but it is affecting us over here in the Gulf. And I was worried about Cape Canaveral and the space shuttles. I was wondering.
They've got a skeleton crew only. Everybody else who works at the Cape took off. So they've got, I don't know, maybe 100, 125 people there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else took off. And
right.
All the Disney stuff in Florida is closed. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I know that all of our hotels and things are booked up and, you know, people.
In other words, people coming from the east out toward you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not finding any place to go. So I don't know. And I've heard a comparison that if you imagine Floyd as being a dime, or rather a half a dollar, and a dime as being Andrew, that sort of would give you a comparison of the storm size.
God, it's a monster.
So
it's a monster. You're absolutely right. Thank you. Looking at the map of the southeastern U.S., this hurricane is so large that it's literally like a piece of a puzzle headed up to fill that entire gap. U-shaped area that's, or crescent-shaped area would be more like it, that forms from Florida up through North Carolina. It will just fill that entire area when it gets there. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, this is Fritz calling.
Well, hi, Fritz. I understand you guys have had some pretty wild weather down in Arizona.
But it's beautiful lightning. It's just a fantastic show of creation. I mean, you know, what creation can do. But anyhow, coming to the weather, did I hear